We've been telling you about BetUS.com on our football shows, Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider and John Krasinski's Viking Update show that I do with John. And it's been a blast to get advice from Barry Barger, their betting expert, and kick around lines and picks. So just to let you know about it, it's BetUS.com. They have NBA, NHL, NBA, UFC, PGA, NFL betting lines. They have all kinds of prop bets. You can go to their website and they have betting advice and analysis, really in-depth stuff. You can get their app. You can call in and bet. Use the promo code TNorth125. They will give you 125% signing bonus. Or if you use crypto, TNorth200 will give you 200% crypto bonus. So we're not going to go through the NFL picks here on the basketball show, but we do a lot of NFL picks with and through BetUS, and we've really enjoyed using their website and their app. Check it out, BetUS.com. Again, the main promo code, TNorth125.
Where have all my friends gone? They've all disappeared. Turn around, maybe one day, you're all that was there.
You know what I've noticed, John? I've noticed, and maybe it's happened before, but it never seemed as obvious to me. It looks like this group of Timberwolves players is actually invested in playing well and having fun during the preseason. And that's just not a common thing in the NBA, I don't think.
It is not common, and it's certainly not common with the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really difficult to draw any kind of grand conclusions from preseason games. Some players are trying and some aren't. Things like that. They, you know, as we're recording this, they're 2-0 going into a game against in Los Angeles on Monday night. But, you know, they looked really good against New Orleans. Denver, they won the game. The starters pretty much got outplayed by the Nuggets starters. But one thing that you did notice in both games was that there is a collective sort of, you know, Finch calls it a spirit and energy about them that seems to indicate that they want to play together. I do think that these guys understand how much doubt there is surrounding them. And I think that they have wanted for now a year and a half to kind of have a chance to really show what they can do, but they've had all the injuries and the pandemic and all these things. They're healthy and they're ready to play. And so even in the Denver game, I mean, you saw like Towns and Jokic went at each other.
Yeah.
Like it was very much like, no, we're here, that we're treating this like a regular season game. And you could see some of the Nuggets almost were kind of looking around like, guys, it's just the preseason. What are we doing here? You know, and to, in fairness to the Nuggets, they have much greater designs. They have an MVP. They, you know, they have all of these things. But I think it really does show that the Wolves are trying to tell people that this is going to be different this year. And you can say it all you want, but you do have to show it. And so I think that's encouraging, is that this team, let's face it, we've questioned D'Angelo Russell's heart and energy effort. Towns' toughness has been questioned forever and ever. And they are coming in and trying to play tough, trying to play hard, trying to play together. And so I think that's just, if you're looking at where to start there and then see what comes from it.
He's John Krasinski. This is the John Krasinski Show, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all of our shows as they were released. Tons of outdoor content, and a lot of it's doing really well. Variety content, including Raising Your Paws with Nutrisource, and tons of sports content. I think the best sports lineup in Minnesota. Thank you to our sponsors on this show, TSR Injury Law, 612-TSR-TIME, Manscaped.com, promo code ATHLETIC, and All Energy Solar, AllEnergySolar.com. Let's get to your conversation with Sachin Gupta, because I mean, it's interesting because I think everybody knows who he is and everybody has an idea of his resume, but we don't know him well. So tell me about him.
Yeah, and I'll say this too, Jim, on top of that, like Glenn Taylor didn't know him well.
Yeah.
I mean, like that's one of the very interesting elements of this, is that because of the pandemic, Taylor was not around the team directly very often over the last 18 months.
Right.
He is a guy who likes to introduce himself to people one-on-one, have conversations in person. And so when they first started to get wind of some of the front office angst, aside from the relationship stuff that ended Rosas's tenure. I think that Glenn just didn't have a very good feel for a lot of the people working under Gerson. He interacted directly with Gerson. He had a good relationship with him, but it was all via phone. He stayed in Mankato or Florida, just wasn't around the team. So I think he felt a little disconnected. And so he didn't know Sachin very well, even as he's being elevated to take over. But what we're kind of learning about him is that it's a very, very different approach from Gerson Rosas. Gerson Rosas very much wanted to be the spokesman, the lording over the entire franchise. This is my vision. I'm going to articulate it. And I'm also not going to be bashful about sharing my thoughts with the entire public about it, so you know who is running the show here. I, for one, was very appreciative of his approach on the job that way, in terms of he was incredibly accessible. There were times where they were losing and he would come out and take the bullets and say, we got to be better and it's got to start with me and all those things. And so he handled that part of it well. He understood that there is a public nature to that position that required him to kind of be out there. One thing that I have heard kind of in the wake of his departure, though, is, you know, he was also a guy who very much liked to be in the locker room with the team, who liked to be in meetings, who would send these sort of inspirational, motivational messages to players all the time and give them pep talks and things. And I do think that, you know, what he wanted was to blur the lines between front office and coaching staff so everyone felt together. I think sometimes the coaching staff and the players might have felt a little infringed upon, where it's like, okay, can we have just our own little space here? It was not bad. It wasn't like they resented or hated it, but it was kind of like, hey, we need a little bit of boundaries here. And I do think that Sachin Gupta understands that a little bit more. He is much quieter by nature, so he is going to be much more of a listener than a talker. And I think that he is going to sort of give Chris Finch a lot more latitude to sort of be the voice for the players. And it, you know, he told me in our conversation, he's like, if any players have issues, if they want to communicate, talk, my door's wide open. I'm absolutely here to have those conversations and hear these guys out. But I also am going to be more of a guy who works kind of in the background. I'm not going to be out front giving rah-rah speeches, was his exact quote to me in the piece. And that was very much an indicator of that's the way that Rosas rolled with it, and Gupta's going to be entirely different. So that was very interesting. The other interesting thing that we talked about was just the nature of him going from disgruntled number two in command over the summer when Gerson Rosas blocked his opportunity to go to Houston. He was not really in – they were at odds and bumping heads. He had actually, you know, been at one point late in August after the draft, after free agency, all these things happen. Gerson Rosas finally said, okay, we're through the parts of the offseason where – we felt like letting you go somewhere else would have been a disadvantage to us. Now you can go out and find, if there's another job, you can go out and find it. And in the meantime, we're going to restrict your access to the building. You're not going to have any access to our software or digital stuff or anything anymore. And go let us know if you find something. Sachin Gupta started to look around. He also was having conversations with ownership, with Mark Lorry and Glenn Taylor, and I think that he was basically kind of, you know, they said, we're not going to stand in your way, but we would like to find a way to work this out. We think highly of you. We want to keep you around. If you think you can work it out with Gerson, we want you to stay. So Gupta kind of looks at some of his options and says, you know, I kind of like some of the options, but I really do feel good about this team, the people who work here. I don't get along with Gerson very well, but I can see, you know, us figuring things out to make this work. And so he decides he wants to stay. And then he goes on this overseas honeymoon with his wife for 10 days and comes back in the day before Rosas is fired, comes back and so was preparing to come into the office on that day of the 23rd, and he comes into the office in the morning, has no idea what's going to happen, and he and Gerson Rosas meet in the morning and have a little face-to-face, hey, let's figure things out. Let's try and work past our problems. Let's get back on the same page. They have the conversation. They get back on the same page, probably a little reluctantly on both. I think Gerson kind of felt like, this guy is, you know, I don't know if I can trust him. Gupta's kind of like, I don't really see eye to eye to him. But they found a way to squash their beef and say, okay, we're moving forward. Training camp's in a week. Let's just go. And 2 hours later, Gupta gets a call, says, come to see me. And it's Glenn Taylor sitting in the office and says, well, you know, we've let Gerson go. We want you to run the show here. And here he is. And so just a wild, wild turn of events to get him now into this position. And now he's really just trying to settle in, stabilize things, and get things ready for the season.
Did Taylor and his team miss something on Rosas they should have picked up on? Did Rosas change while he was here? Did we miss something? Because I, like you, and you know, we do different, completely different jobs. You are a reporter. You're in there digging all the time, and you need access. And I have more casual conversations with people and less frequent conversations. But we both had the same view of Rosas, which is, hey, pretty good guy to talk to, handles media responsibilities pretty well, kind of liked him. Did we all miss something on him?
It's interesting. I've had those conversations with a bunch of people over the last couple of weeks now. And what I keep hearing from the Timberwolves side of things is they went through this big interview process. I mean, you had Ethan Cass and Ryan Tanke, Jim Peterson, John Thomas, Cheryl Reeve, Ryan Saunders. Like, all of these people were involved. They tried to have a multitude of perspectives. Sienna Muehlbaum, like all, you know, Jen Ridgeway from Community Relations, like all of these different kind of people were involved in interviewing all of the candidates, and they were trying to have as many perspectives as possible so they didn't miss something. And what I kind of hear time and again, both from people who had interviewed him and then from people who had worked for him previously and then were working for him here, is he interviewed exceptionally well. He had done it like 8 or 9 times before. He was very polished, and he knew what the Timberwolves were coming out of from the Tibbs era, and he had all the notes. Like everything was going the right way. And but once he got into the job a little bit, and once he started to get more influence and power and started to run things his own way, it seemed like he did change some. That whether it was the power, whether it was, you know, just his own ego, whether it was something else, but there were a lot of shocked people. Like, this is not the Gerson Rosas we know. Now, there are people, to be frank, like that, even before he was hired here, around the league, who had reservations about Rosas and like just kind of the way he operated. They thought that he was kind of, you know, I would hear the word fraudulent a lot, and like, you know, kind of. But in my interactions with him, we had a good relationship. I think he understood my role. He was accessible. Like, he made. At the end of the day, for me as a reporter, I don't have to agree with you at all. Just explain to me where you're coming from. Give me your logic, and that's what I want. Like, I want to be able, I don't want to have to be guessing your motivations. And he would do that, and so I appreciated that. But as the summer, especially this last summer, came along, you did start to hear more about people kind of starting to have real qualms with how he ran things, with, you know, what he was doing, with how he was sort of changing. You know, Robbie Sicca goes, Zarko Durisic goes, like a lot of people, you know, you know, the way they fired Ryan Saunders, like it just started to kind of be a, you know, he talks all of this talk about connection and family and collaboration and all this, but all of his words are not supported by his actions. And that's where it really started to get, I think, snowball into a bigger problem. And I did have, like, I had one person who I talked to who's not with the organization at all, but has known Rosas for a long time, said to, you know, that I heard he was telling people, you know, there's, of all the people in the league who would get himself into a situation with an inappropriate relationship with a coworker, I understand that stuff happens in the NBA, especially that's just unfortunately that's sort of the way it goes. But if I had to pick someone, he would be the last choice. Like, I just there's no way I could ever see him doing that and that kind of a judgment. He'd been with his wife since they were 15 years old. Like, they have, you know, he's very spiritual, very religious, devout religious person. Like, and just the way that I know him, it's not the Gerson Rosas that I know. And so we've seen it all, Jim. Like, we've seen power and influence and money corrupt people before. And maybe this is the way, because the Gerson Rosas that went through the interview process and that was hired over some other very quality candidates, I think was not the Gerson Rosas who eventually, maybe a year or two into the job, started to turn into. And so I do think many people in the organization were caught very flat-footed by this and very just kind of surprised that it morphed this way. Whether he makes the right moves or not, that's beside the point. But the person, the personality, the decision making, the values, like all of that stuff was completely opposite to what he interviewed on.
Let's go on the court next. We do want to thank our sponsors, including TSR Injury Law, 612 TSR Time. You know the drill by now. You've seen Steve Terry's face everywhere. You know the number, 612-TSR-TIME. You can go to the website, TSR Injury Law, to get more information, to fill out a free case review, to be reminded that they only will charge you if they win your case. And you can see all the cases they've won, the kinds of cases they've won. You can read testimonials and check out their practice area. But really, all you need to know, and this is what they've built their business on, you get hurt, you call 612-TSR-TIME. They will either help you or they will send you in the right direction. They're good people. We trust them. We've had a blast working with them. 612-TSR-TIME. Can't wait to see Steve at a game this year. That will be a blast. We'd also like to thank Manscaped, manscaped.com.
Do you know what's spookier than seeing a black cat on Halloween? It's shaving your balls with anything other than Manscaped. When it comes to below-the-waist grooming, there's no need to carve your pumpkins this Halloween because Manscaped is here to upgrade your grooming experience. Go from a bite-sized candy bar to a king-sized candy bar and join the 2 million men worldwide by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC. Have you ever tried to trim your balls and it turned into a Freddy Krueger film? Well, luckily, Manscaped is here to save the day and make sure you're smelling fresh with their new refined body wash. Fellas, the ladies love their signature scent, and it will scare away those vampires. Unlock your confidence with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside, you'll find the holy grail of men's grooming items. They've made it easy for you to upgrade your grooming routine. It's a full moon out there, and the werewolf in your pants is howling. It's time to tackle that problem with the Lawnmower 4.0. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker, a total game changer to your men's hygiene arsenal. It's a nose and ear hair trimmer that provides proprietary skin-safe technology that helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code ATHLETIC at manscaped.com. Say trick or treat to your beautiful new Halloweeny with Manscaped.
Thanks also to All Energy Solar. Stop laughing, Brandon. Take it easy, Brandon. Try to get over it. Let's be mature here. Or not. AllEnergySolar.com is a home improvement project. Solar energy can stop. I'm going to start over. As a home improvement, I'm all flustered. As a home improvement project, solar energy can start paying for itself the moment the system is powered up. It can pay back 100% of the installation cost within 8 years. Plus, a system from All Energy Solar can even pay back over 300% of its cost over its lifetime. And you can save even more if you install by the end of the year with 2021 solar incentives. Learn how you can make the switch this summer or this fall at allenergysolar.com. Great idea. So let's get back to the court.
Please.
What are you going to do at power forward? And, well, let's start there because I have one other basketball question I want to ask you.
Yeah, so it was interesting. In the first two games, the first game, Finch started Jaden McDaniels and Josh Okogie at the pseudo wings, and either one could be a three or a four. They got hammered on the glass, and rebounding is kind of their big priority right now. So what we've kind of all believed is that eventually Finch would settle on a starting lineup with Jared Vanderbilt at the four next to Karl-Anthony Towns, because Vanderbilt is a very good rebounder. He is very, very limited offensively, though, and they started Vanderbilt at the four against Denver, and the Nuggets are certainly a bigger team, so I understand that move, but the what you saw with Vanderbilt out there helps defense and rebounding, really hurts offensively. He does not have any sort of three-point range. He shot one three-pointer all last season, doesn't space the floor. The other problem is he's a very good cutter, and he understands how to move without the basketball, but he has trouble catching the basketball. When guys try to thread a pass through, he's got stone hands. And so it really makes you play 4-on-5, you know, offensively. And against a good team like Denver, they can exploit that. So we saw the Nuggets, you know, the Wolves won in overtime in that game. But in general, the starters were pretty well outplayed by the Nuggets starters without Jamal Murray because Vanderbilt, they just really had a hard time with it. So Chris Finch might have to find the best bad decision at this point. And so it'll be interesting. We'll see. They have two games this week against Los Angeles on Monday night and then against Brooklyn on Thursday night before they come back and start to get ready for the regular season. And so I'm sure you're going to see him play with those lineups a little bit more and see if there's a way to cover up some of the offensive issues that Vanderbilt has, but also take advantage of the defensive things. And so I think it's going to be, though, a work in progress where it may even be matchup related night in and night out in terms of how they start games, which is unconventional, but given the roster situation, that just might be the way they have to go right now.
This is going to be a hybrid Gopher and Wolves topic, watching McKinley Wright play and being reminded of the Jalen Suggs comments lately. You know, I think I gave Richard Pitino too much rope, too much credit, too much benefit of the doubt. The fact that he didn't really try to recruit Suggs and McKinley Wright is the Gophers should hire Richard Pitino so they could fire him again.
Well, here's what we always have to wonder about. Sometimes the versions of stories can morph. Now, I do think that he missed on McKinley Wright. He had Jelly Fam. That was his guy.
Right.
And so Wright, a little undersized, but I think a perfect Gophers guard like that. And maybe if he had recruited Wright, maybe that starts to have the dominoes fall for some of the other guys, Jericho Sims but I just really think, like Flip told me back in the day, if I had taken the Gophers job, I'd have had Tyus Jones and he'd have brought Jahlil Okafor. Okay.
That might be half right, or it might not be right at all.
Or it might not be right at all.
Yeah.
And Tyus, I'd always asked him about it, and he's just a nice kid, so he wouldn't like say Flip's kind of full of it.
Right.
But like when you're, to me, like the Jalen Suggs one, when you're recruiting against Gonzaga, Duke, Kentucky, like those are the ones that are just tough misses.
Yep.
And same with Tyus. Matthew Hurt went to Duke. He was not going to come here after his brother didn't necessarily have a great experience here. And maybe that's on Richard Pitino as well. But some of these guys who have come out and said, oh yeah, McKinley, I'd have followed you here. Absolutely. It would have been great. I think they kind of like to turn the screws a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do think that the McKinley thing is legit. Like he would have come to the Gophers. He wanted to play here. I don't think that Pitino gave him much of a look, and that was a definite mistake. What happens with history after that? If that changes, I'm not sure, but I'm not willing to say that Jalen Suggs would have come to Minnesota if Richard Pitino would have recruited him harder. Because I just don't think Richard Pitino is that dumb, to be honest. Like, I think that he must have gotten indications that Jalen, he's a big time guy. He's going, you know, Gonzaga, and they have Wasserman Media. They have all these things that can help. So that's the thing with that. But with McKinley Wright, absolutely big time mistake. Never should have let him leave here, because he would have been here for 4 years. He would have really helped the guard position, which they struggled with mightily under Pitino. And the swing and a miss big time there.
One more thought on that. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thanks to our sales executive, Karen Cleary, Kcleary at TalkNorth.com. It does bolster the perception I got from being around him, from talking to people who knew him, from talking to reporters, that Pitino was in a place where if he's going to win, he was probably going to have to be a maniac, and he wasn't a maniac. He was very happy to go home and have dinner with the family, which is a great way to live your life. It's not a great way to win basketball games at Minnesota.
Yeah, and I would say, I think that's entirely possible. I do think the other thing that was something that hurt him was, you know, he came here, and I think I understand why, but he was kind of like put off by the provincialism.
You know? He should have done his research, you know? Man.
Yeah, and it was like everyone wants Minnesota kids, and he kind of looked at it as like this annoying, cute little thing. Like, I don't care where they come from as long as we just come and win. Like, does it have to be a big deal? And it is a big deal here. And also, I do think he underestimated the talent level here.
Mm-hmm.
So when, you know, he's going out other ways and recruiting these guys who he thought were going to be great players to come in, I do think that he sort of looked down at the Minnesota product and the talent pool as kind of, it's Minnesota. Like, how good can it really be kind of a thing? And obviously that's a mistake. There's great Minnesota players here that are going all over the country and having great careers. But I do think, like, he's this East Coast dude, Kentucky dude, like, grew up in the Kentucky Louisville basketball business machine. And he came up here, and he was hearing a lot of, you know, the big problem that the Gophers have had is they haven't had enough Minnesota kids on the roster. He's like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, no, that's not the problem. And so I think that there was a part of him that almost was like, I'm going to show you guys that you don't need Minnesota kids, that all you'll support, you know, Isaiah Washington as much as you would Jalen Suggs or McKinley Wright, because he's going to be a great player and we're going to come and win a guy. He didn't win a lot of games. That's what hurt him. But there was just this kind of callous over him that he didn't want to deal with, like, the dunkers breakfasts and all of that stuff. And so I do think that was a problem for him, because if he would have opened his eyes and, you know, his arms to Minnesota kids and brought more of them in, he probably would have had more success than he had here.
That's good stuff. I'm glad I brought it up. Richard, you came to the wrong place if you didn't want provincialism, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Came to the wrong place.
I don't think he has that in New Mexico.
No, I think he'll be happy to get a kid from New York and New Mexico. Good stuff from John Krasinski here on The John Krasinski Show. This is TalkNorth.com. Thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com.